this week on Reentry Stories.
My understanding of incarceration was different prior to meeting them.
I'm Mary Evans. In this season of Reentry Stories, we explore injustices within the criminal justice system and hear from exonerees who are reclaiming their lives. Support for Reentry Stories comes from the Montgomery County Office of Reentry and the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at WISO. Rachel McMillan serves as an assistant professor in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She partners with the Ohio Innocence Project and engages with several of the exonerees from this series, inviting them to her classroom to educate her students about wrongful incarceration.
Okay, I'm Rachel McMillan. I'm an assistant professor at University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I am in the College of Education, and I work with pre-service teachers.
And then how did you get connected with the Ohio Innocence Project or some of the exonerees from that organization?
I got connected to the Ohio Innocence Project through my high school students, actually. I was a high school teacher in Cincinnati, Ohio, high school social studies teacher. And my students were responsible for doing civics projects in the community and around the city. And I had a group of students who were interested in learning more about people who were incarcerated. And so I reached out to a lawyer at Ohio Innocence Project, Jennifer Bergeron, and she came and spoke to my students. And then they got really invested, you know, hearing the stories about the exonerees. And this particular group of students organized a basketball tournament to raise money for the Ohio Innocence Project. A 3-on-3 basketball tournament in the city. And Dean Gillespie and Robert McClendon showed up and surprised the kids and surprised me. And since then, Dean and I are, you know, great friends. Robert and I have become great friends. It's been, I don't know how long now, but since then, you know, they've been coming to my classroom, working alongside my students. Some of the exonerees did an art exhibit probably about 6 years ago. So it's a longstanding relationship, and I've become great friends with many of the exonerees.
And so even though your students were learning about incarceration, I wonder what made them choose the exoneration process of wrongfully convicted. Was it a choice that they decided, or did you already kind of like know about these kinds of things happening and talking to your students about it? Because there's a whole lot of different types of incarceration you could talk about. So I'm curious to know, like, why that specific facet of the incarceration or judicial system was chosen.
Yeah, I think for me, that was a choice that I made. I had never really, you know, studied wrongful incarceration until OIP and until meeting Dean and Robert. My understanding of incarceration was definitely different prior to meeting them. And so that was a decision I made, you know, partly, you know, proximity to University of Cincinnati with my school, and then partly just trying to find, you know, attorneys in the area who could, you know, talk to my students. And so, you know, it kind of happened by chance. You know, many of my students have experience with incarceration, you know, whether through family members or themselves. You know, myself, I have experience, you know, with incarceration, not myself personally, but, you know, through loved ones and all. And so, this was my first introduction to wrongful incarceration, but it definitely made me think about it, you know, differently. I am currently working with 5 other exonerees in Ohio on building a high school curriculum around their experiences. I'm also working with approximately 10 men who are currently incarcerated and building a curriculum around their stories as well. I worked for a few years with Keith Lamar, who's wrongfully convicted on death row. And so his story definitely impacted me. There's so many stories that really impacted me, but I actually wrote my dissertation with Larice Glover and Ruel Saylor and Chris Smith, and thinking about teenagers who were wrongfully convicted, and Black teenagers in particular. And so those are the stories that really got me into it, thinking particularly about my own students at the time, high schoolers, and the ways that, you know, kids, you know, confess not knowing, you know, they have these false confessions. They don't necessarily know, you know, the law, not having parents or guardians present. And so it was really thinking about my kids and thinking about the situations that they could end up in that made me, I guess, dig deeper into it.
And have you received any like pushback from any of the educational institutions that you teach at when you introduce this curriculum? And if so, how do you deal with that and push forward with trying to implement it to your students?
Yeah, I've received some pushback, particularly working with people who are currently incarcerated. And it's a reason that I don't teach in high school anymore. But I do find that administrators and educators find it easier, and I hate to say this, and maybe you shouldn't include this in the interview, but they find it easier to deal with wrongful incarceration than, you know, other types of incarceration and, you know, over-sentencing and all of that. And so, you know, working with OIP, that was better received than working with people who might have done something, you know. And so I use that as an entrance point to talk about, you know, all of the other impacts of incarceration. Not everybody in there is, you know, quote unquote, wrongfully incarcerated. And so yeah, I don't want to say it's more palatable, but people find that easier to take than, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird and confusing to me because you have so many you know, incarceration is, it looks really good to everyone. And so now you have all these higher education institutions, especially since the reinstatement of the Pell Grant, you know, creating these opportunities for currently incarcerated individuals to seek an education. They have these Inside Out programs and all these things. So, you know, that's kind of, I don't know, a weird perspective for me to look at when you have all these people now going inside and having access to currently incarcerated individuals.
I criticize, you know, prison education programs a lot. I'm in facilities, and I was just at a facility this morning, and I saw a lot of students, you know, going in and all of that. But the people that I work with, and you know, they're mixed opinions. But a lot of what they say is that those programs aren't necessarily, you know, they're not in the business of freeing them. And so it, you know, it feels a lot like transactional. And so, you know, these education programs start up and you might get a degree, you might not. But once again, and I, you know, I say this with the guys that I work with, you know, without them, there wouldn't be these programs. And so you have to keep people incarcerated in order to have these prison education programs. And there's a lot of money tied up in it. And it can be contradictory. They aren't in the, like the guys say, they aren't in the business of abolition, per se. They're not in the business of freeing them. I know a lot of the guys, you know, go through these programs, and what they really need is a lawyer. And that's not, you know, necessarily provided to them. But I can go on and on about that. But yeah, it is. It's contradictory. Yeah.
So what's your next plan as far as the curriculum and teaching it? Do you hope to implement it?
Yeah. So I have two things going on right now. So I do have an Illinois-based one, and that's the one working with men who are currently incarcerated. And they wrote the whole thing. I'm putting it together, and we have, you know, some animations, and it's actually like really, really beautiful. And then I have an Ohio-based one right now, and I'm currently in the process working with a filmmaker to document their stories, you know, going back to the places where they were arrested, and, you know, going back to their schools, and using those stories in those videos to create a curriculum for high school students in Ohio. But yeah, so there will be two separate ones, one in Illinois and one in Ohio.
And it's your hopes to get it Like, are you trying to have like all the different high schools in Ohio maybe adopt this curriculum, or is it you got a specific institution in mind that it'll be held at?
Yeah, I would hope that every high school teacher could feel, you know, comfortable enough to teach these stories and tell these stories in classrooms across the state of Ohio. I want to create opportunities for, you know, the exonerees to visit, I would say, more diverse classrooms, you know, where people look like us, the people who were most impacted by incarceration. And so that's my hope, to get it in, you know, to high schools across the state. I understand that not everybody will be willing to do this work, because you have to handle it carefully. These are, you know, real lives that we're talking about, people who are really impacted. And so I wouldn't want it, you know, to be in the wrong hands, but I would hope that, you know, people could see the value in this and see the value in teaching it. But it is okay if they choose not to. My job is just to put it out there and to try to create opportunities for the exonerees to tell their stories.
Speaking of telling stories, so I think what really surprised me about doing this project, because usually on reentry stories, it's a lot of system impacted people returning and then finding their way and their success and how they successfully remain, you know, out of prison and, you know, what they are doing for the community and stuff now. But I wanted to highlight the people who actually don't get a chance to be their true, genuine self because they were wrongfully convicted. And I think one of the biggest things that shocked me was that there was people who did not look like me who were wrongfully convicted as well. I always had this kind of like perception that it was always just folks like myself. So what was something or a perspective or a stereotype that you thought about that kind of like blew your mind, or something that kind of like you had a shock, an aha moment, like, huh, maybe it isn't so, you know, because that was the thing for me, you know, meeting Nancy Smith and a couple of the other exonerees and just hearing their stories. And it's just like, wow, you know, this is actually happening to, you know, people who do not identify as Black. That kind of like blew my mind. So has there been any kind of like shock things for you in this process of learning about this stuff?
When I think back, like I said, I did not really know a whole lot about wrongful incarceration. I knew about incarceration for sure, but not about wrongful incarceration. So I think that all of it has kind of shocked me. You know, even the stats about people who look like us, I'm still blown away. You know, like we are very much overrepresented in this pool of wrongful incarceration. And so, yeah, a lot of it, you know, and I would say early on, it really just kind of blew my mind that this kind of stuff was happening and happening, you know, in my neighborhood or in the state. And so, yeah, when I first met everybody, I was just like, oh my God. And I hate to say that I'm used to it now. I'm not used to it, but I have grown, I guess, so much, you know, in my relationships with them, that, yeah, I don't want to say it doesn't shock me anymore, because it is, there's still that, I'm not numb to it, but it, you know, I'm definitely part of that community. And so yeah, it's not so much shocking now, I guess. But when I first got into this, I was very much like, oh my God, I had no idea. And I think that's why I wanted to start teaching this stuff, because if I didn't know, for sure my students didn't know, because I, you know, I wasn't telling them. And I know that many students don't know the impacts of incarceration or the impacts of wrongful incarceration. So, yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for the work you're doing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that curriculum inspires those high school students to maybe, you know, take an avenue, or maybe they want to continue their education in law school and help bring home people who are wrongfully convicted. I know that this still happens so much, and you had mentioned someone who was wrongfully convicted on death row. I couldn't even imagine what that process was like, to like work with an individual knowing that their life could end at any moment. Was that kind of hard, or is it still hard for you? Is that person still on death row? Or
yeah, he is still on death row in Ohio. It was an extremely difficult time, but it was also a very, you know, beautiful time. Working with him and the kids, you know, viewed him as their teacher. So Yeah, it was hard, but like I said, it was beautiful, and it was necessary work to kind of shake all of us awake.
Where do you see yourself at in like 5 years with this work?
Oh wow. Yeah, I definitely want to, continue these relationships. When I look back at when I first started working with OIP and working with the exonerees, I had no idea that, like 10 years down the road that we would be, great friends, that we would be, calling each other, going over each other's houses, or, they've come to my church, like that kind of stuff. And so I never imagined that, years ago. And so 5 years from now, I hope that I continue those relationships, that I continue to, show them love, and they continue to show me love. And but ultimately, I want, like I said, I want these stories in classrooms, particularly for people like us, and maybe not just, to inspire kids to go to law school or to become prosecutors or, whatever, but to show them how people live, in spite of, everything that is done to us, how we continue to love and care for each other and build relationships and survive and thrive in the midst of all of this madness. And so that's my hope, that I just continue to share the stories, and that we can continue impacting people for the better.
That was Professor Rachel McMillan, and I'm Mary Evans. Support for Reentry Stories comes from the Montgomery County Office of Reentry and the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at WISO.